Hello everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday the 31st of May. The message is from Acts chapter 3, verse 1. O my God, I am yours, I trust in you I hope. The Lord is upright, he is good and just. There are several examples in the Bible of people who can illustrate what I just said. It is when a person or a group of people regained confidence and praised God. I have chosen one for us this morning. It's found in Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were just carrying a cripple there. He was a man paralyzed from birth. Every day they placed him at the entrance to the temple courtyard near the gate called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg for alms from those going to the sanctuary. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple courtyard, he asked them for alms. The two apostles looked intently at him. "Look at us," Peter said to him. The cripple looked at them intently, thinking that he might receive something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." At the same time, he took him by the right hand and helped him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. He leaped to his feet and began to walk. He entered the temple courts with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Everyone saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. When the people saw what had happened to him, they were filled with amazement and fear. But he stayed close to Peter and John. All the people ran and gathered around them in the temple courts under Solomon's portico, and they were amazed. When Peter saw this, he addressed the crowd. "Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at what has just happened? Why do you stare at us as though we ourselves had made this man walk by our own power? No, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, the very Jesus you handed over to Pilate and disowned before him, even though it was decided to set him free. Yes, you disowned the holy and righteous one. Instead, you asked for a favour and demanded the release of a murderer. So you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of that. And it is because we believe in Jesus that the power of this Jesus whom we have invoked has given this man, who you see and know, the strength to stand. Yes, this faith, which is effective through Jesus, has given this man complete healing, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted without knowing what you were doing, both you and your rulers. But in this way God fulfilled what he had foretold through all his prophets, that the Messiah, whom he had promised to send, would suffer. Now, therefore, repent and turn to God so that he may forgive your sins. Then the Lord will grant you periods of rest, and he will send you the Messiah, whom he has appointed for you, Jesus. In the meantime, he must remain in heaven until the day when the whole universe is restored, as God foretold long ago through his holy prophets. This text resonates with me from one of the first experiences of my pastoral ministry, and it wasn't so long ago. It was at the John Boss Foundation in 1984. Indeed, at that time I worked alongside a chaplain catechist at the foundation who organised about once a month what were called, and still are called, catechetical services accessible to the foundation's disabled members. One of these services was entitled Gaze, Encounter, Gratitude. The chaplain in question was named Gilles Warnery. I have always remembered the title given to this service, and when I come to a place of worship, these three words, gaze, encounter, gratitude, are the foundation of praise. I look to God, to those around me, I come to meet God, to the people of God gathered together, and I am why I can say thank you to God. Do you know how many people greet each other in one of the tribes of South Africa? Sawubona. Literally, this means I see you. You are important to me and I value you greatly. If you've seen the movie Avatar, remember that the Na'vi, the natives of Pandora, used to say, I see you, instead of I love you. Seeing the other is recognizing them as someone very similar to oneself. Now I come to our meditation text, because the new life of the paralyzed beggar begins with the gaze fixed upon him. What is interesting in this text is the diversity of the gazes of the various people involved. He was placed every day at the entrance to the temple courtyard near the gate called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those who came to the sanctuary. Here there is no allusion to a glance. Certainly the beggar is brought in, but it has become such a habit that he is hardly noticed anymore. He is there, but he is not seen. He goes on his way. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple courtyard, he asked them for alms. Here, the man's gaze is noted. It is a gaze he casts upon Peter and John, just as he usually casts upon everyone who passes by, a normal gaze. The two apostles fix their eyes on him. The author of the book of Acts uses a new word to specify the kind of gaze the apostles cast upon the beggar. It is a gaze that suggests Peter and John are paying close attention to the situation in which our man finds himself. They are more interested in him than all the other passers-by and so-called worshippers of God. Look at us, Peter tells him. Here the apostles are asking the beggar to look at them. Here is a third word to suggest that the beggar's expected gaze should be different from the one he usually gave to passers-by. The verb used implies that the gaze directed at the apostles does not have the same value. It invites a greater understanding of the people before him. The cripple looked at them attentively. End of the story. A fourth word is used. The beggar is as if surprised by what is happening and begins to reflect while looking at these two men who are taking time with him. With my reference to the catechism of look, encounter, thanks, with the greeting of the people of South Africa, Swubona, and finally with this exchange of glances mentioned in Acts 3, you see where I'm going with this. Logically, among humans, we should pay attention to the people we meet, and even more so in Christ. Our glances shouldn't be furtive. How many times do we walk past people without wanting to look at them too closely? And even in the church, aren't there glances I wouldn't want to exchange? When I say this, I completely include myself in this attitude. I sometimes don't want to linger because it might cost me time, energy. And I am also surprised by fraternal gestures that please me, just as I am conversely, by the total indifference of people who are close to me. This beggar was seen differently and finally crossed the threshold of the temple. He began to worship God as never before. It was then that Peter addressed all those who were wondering what was happening. Men of Israel, why are you so amazed at what has just happened? Why do you stare at us so intently, as though we ourselves had made this man walk by our own power or piety? Know the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has here revealed the glory of his servant Jesus. Yes, you have denied the one who is holy and righteous. And it is because we believe in Jesus that the power of this Jesus whom we have invoked has given this man, whom you see and know, the strength to stand. Now, brothers, I know that you acted without knowing what you were doing, both you and your rulers. Would we also be ignorant by coming here? Now then, repent and turn to God, so that he may blot out your sins, so that you may go straight to the point to be worthy of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in your actions, in your daily life. Our God wants no one to be left behind. We have just remembered the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles at Pentecost, a grace manifested by God, beginning in Jerusalem and reaching all nations. Clear teachings about salvation in Jesus Christ and some unexpected acts will be manifested, not only through the apostles, but also through others like the deacons, Stephen and Philip, and still others like Priscilla, Aquila, and sometimes even strangers passing through the region like the prophet Agabus. God wants salvation in Jesus Christ to be heard and received throughout the whole world. I spoke of sight, but I don't want those who are visually impaired or blind to feel excluded, because every person, even if they cannot see another's gaze, can appreciate their presence through their voice or touch, just as they can also carry a message of salvation through their touch or their voice. God wants salvation in Jesus Christ to be heard and received throughout the whole world. Let us therefore be among those witnesses of grace and perhaps heed the exhortation of the Apostle Peter. Repent and turn to God so that he may forgive you your sins. Then the Lord will grant you times of rest, literally of refreshing. Some areas of uncertainty still deserve to be illuminated, but the essential point has been made. What about our perspective, our rest, our faith, our habits, however pious they may be? Amen.